Hello everyone, this is Lady E with Inside Lady E's Mind. I'm sorry I haven't really recorded in a good while. I believe I've finally decided on a schedule for recording, probably twice a month until I can do it more frequently. For this end of the month segment, it'll probably be more like a rant, just with everything that's going on with the mail-in voting and the Breonna Taylor decision and the man we have in the White House and just kind of everything. I'll probably be discussing everything or sharing my feelings on everything, and then you guys are welcome to send me emails or comment or whatever you want to do. I am going to be looking into getting a new microphone, just so I can record better and probably feel more like a professional. Being a professional is good. And then also, I set up a Ko-fi page just to, I guess, better communicate with you guys. And then if you guys, and it's another avenue to donate. So if you guys would like to buy me a coffee, I believe they have it set up as on there. It's like a $3 thing to PayPal. I have to figure out how to set up the Apple Pay section though. That's a little confusing. But anyway, we'll just dive right in. So I know on my blog I've written about the importance of voting and why everyone and all their family and friends and everyone, if they, I'm not going to say if you can, because people can use that as an excuse if, you know, they, you know, if, because some people use an excuse like I have to work and other things, and it's like, but it's like we all vote once a year, sometimes twice a year if there's a special election. Like you gotta just do it, because it's way too important. Because I know people always focus on the presidential election, but there's also state and local elections that you really need to be paying attention to. Because they will just suggest these people who will just not have any of your interests and things that are important to you or your family or anyone in, you know. And these people are supposed to be our representatives. They make decisions like for us at large, whether it's, you know, for your children's school or drawing property lines or coming up with property taxes or redoing the lines for different polling sections or sections that they count as like where you can pull representatives from. And they do all sorts of things that we're not aware of. And you have these people in who are not for any of what you may need from them. And, you know, they're there doing what they want for people who are lobbying them and giving them money under the table. And we have to vote them out. We have to vote them out, and we have to try and get people in there who are going to represent us. And if they're not going to represent us, then it's our job as citizens and as people who are, you know, paying taxes and living our lives, it's our job to vote them out of office. That's how we keep them accountable. We send them letters and emails and all sorts of things to keep them accountable. And we keep an eye on things, because we all too, and I've done it. We can Google all sorts of things about skincare and food and anime and cars and take pictures of our food and, you know, about various celebrities. And we can all do that. But then looking up, like, who's your mayor? Who are the people representing you in you know, the legislator who's representing you in the Capitol, who's representing you in the Senate, who is your governor, you know, who's your state's attorney, the guy who's leading all the prosecutors, who's that guy? Because that guy determines, you know, how all the prosecutors are going to run their cases and what kind of cases they're going to look for, you know. He determines that, just like the police chief determines how the police are going to do, you know. What are they going to do? What are they going to be on the lookout for? What are they learning as far as education? Are they learning anything? Is everybody even keeping track of that? Those sorts of things. You know, there are all these people and elected officials and people appointed by other elected officials that we're just, you know, that, and I'm guilty of it too. We're all just letting, just kind of slide by and slide in and just do whatever their lobbyists want to do, because it's like, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine, and that's what we're going to do. And we're just going to keep doing it because the American public is too dumb to look at it. And right now, in this moment, with all these killings of these black women, now we're looking at it. Or at least we should be looking at it. In addition to protesting, we should also be looking into who's running the police department, who's running the prosecuting office, who's the mayor, who's the governor, who are these judges, who are these people teaching in schools, who are these people running the councils who are supposed to be like directing who the schools, who's the school superintendent, who are these people, what are their views on things? Because all their voting records and stuff are supposed to be like public records, so what are they doing? What's their stance on this, that, and the other? Hey, that doesn't jive with any of, you know, of anything that's supposed to be representing my child. Anything that's supposed to be protecting my child. Or anything, frankly, that's supposed to be protecting me. Or anyone I know. You know? So, no. And then you investigate them. And especially, you know, the little laws and laws and ordinances and things that they'll slip into special elections or yearly elections, thinking that people are only going to pay attention to the presidential election. They'll slip those in and get them passed by their buddies because they'll let them know and their families know, and they're not really the public. And it's not until like it shows up in the news or on a major news outlet or newspaper or something that it finally gets out. And it's like, oh, they put that on the ballot? What? And then it's all so sickening. And I know it's sickening. And I know many people find it sickening. But that's why, in addition to protesting, which I love that people are protesting, not really a fan of the rioting, but I understand wholeheartedly where the anger comes from. But in addition to that, if the amount of people protesting and their families and friends go vote for what their actual interests are, we can get these people out of these offices who have either been in these offices too long and they're not even paying attention to what their constituents need, and get some people in who promise to represent us, and then we have to keep them accountable by sending letters and checking them on, hey, why are you voting on this? You know, or hey, why are you voting against like more money for the schools? Or hey, why are you voting for like putting liquor stores and things near schools, you know, and things of that nature. So I think we should be paying more attention to that. And of course we should be protesting, but we just, for the love of God, we need to vote. We need to vote, and not only in this election, but we need to make sure we as black people, and honestly, people everywhere, because it doesn't, I mean, unfortunately, it seems to affect black people the most, because unfortunately, we're the ones who end up dead a lot of times, but it affects everyone. And even those people who swear, oh, I'm not really into politics, or oh, I'm not political, but it's like, you pay your taxes, don't you? You have Uncle Sam and the IRS come after you after your taxes and your property taxes and other things. So yeah, it does affect you. It does. You send your kids to school, right? Be it public or private, it affects you. And even if you homeschool them, you still got to buy supplies and stuff. It affects you. You got to pay for your water and your gas. It still affects you. You drive a car, and especially if you take public transportation, it affects you. You know, all of the things that we don't perceive as it could affect us affects it. Politics directly affects it, you know, especially local and state politics. That's why I'm really for people getting out every year and voting, because it's like because state taxes can vary naturally state by state. So if this state decides to raise their taxes on, like, say, cars, or if you own a car, you may have to pay like this, or if you own this type of property, you may have to pay this, it'll incentivize more people to rent, because it's like, dude, it's way too expensive to pay like property taxes for like this house, bro. I was already struggling to pay the mortgage. And then they talk about, well, why aren't more people moving into homes? Or it could be used as a, well, we want certain people to own homes. And it's a way of getting certain people, certain groups, out of homes, and then getting certain other groups into homes that they would prefer to have in those groups. And then moving other people either back to the cities or maybe further out into rural areas. So that, I mean, that's just one example. But I just need people to understand that politics affects so much more than you think it does. And you really need to go and educate yourself on your own situation. And then which representatives are going to actually be in your best interest to vote for. And then you find out, like, their official email address or Twitter account or whatever. And then you hold them accountable, because all of them be on Twitter. So just send them tweets, send them emails, and send them all types of stuff and hold them accountable. And then let your friends know, because they may be in a similar boat than you, or they may have some other reasons why. Like, hey, did you have so-and-so's email? You should email them about, like, this issue you're having, because it seems to be like an issue across the county or across the city or something. And then you email them that. But I just want people to be more aware of voting, and to, for the love of God, vote. Just vote, because it's a right you have. It is a right that people fought and died for. Please get registered to vote, and please vote. Just vote. And yes, you can mail it in. Although me personally, I don't trust the mail-in. I'm going to the polls in person, and in looking in the sample ballot I got in the mail today, it looks like they've limited the number of polling places. I guess they're saying for COVID-19, but I've become more of a conspiracy person lately, so I'm thinking it's another reason. But I'm still going to go and vote, because the one close to my house is still in, and I encourage you to just, because legally you are allowed to take that day off and go vote. And any employer that tells you you can't take that day off, you need to report them to OSHA or whoever, because they're supposed to allow you that day to vote. You know, allow you that day to vote, and then you go vote, and then you either go back to work, or, you know, there you go. But just go vote. It is so important. You know, just so important. Next up, I will be talking about Breonna Taylor. Just Breonna Taylor. For the Breonna Taylor case, that this past week, the grand jury in Kentucky, I guess between the police and the attorney general's office there, they presented what they said was their evidence about the shooting and all the details that happened, and somehow or another, None of the three officers involved are charged with her death. Instead, one out of the three is charged with, like, wanton destruction of, like, public property or something. Which is basically about the bullets that hit elsewhere and did not shoot and kill Breonna Taylor. So I just, and generally I'm like a pretty happy person most of the time. I do have issues with like depression and anxiety, but I've had those for like years, like a decade and a half probably. But just these last 4 years really, and even with Trayvon Martin's murder in 2012, you know, George Zimmerman got to say that he was standing his ground, and I just find it funny that, are really not even funny, like just so disturbing and disheartening that the police in this case, Breonna Taylor's case, can do like a no-knock warrant. And but apparently, you know, they did knock. They were banging on the door for like 45 seconds, which if you're banging on someone's door, ever have knocked on someone's door, kind of hard. That's a pretty long time to be banging. So naturally her and her boyfriend wake up. They're confused because it's like the middle of the night. Who would be banging on the door in the middle of the night? We didn't call anyone. That's why we were asleep. And because her boyfriend, her previous boy, her ex-boyfriend was a drug dealer, probably why she broke up with him. You know, her boyfriend at the time, Kenneth Walker, was thinking that it could be some of his associates because, of course, being a drug dealer and her ex-boyfriend, he wasn't happy to see her go anywhere. And he wasn't happy to see her happy. Because there are guys who are just like that. There are guys and women who are just like that. It's like, if I can't be happy, you can't be happy either. So he was thinking it was that sort of situation. And like, who knows at like midnight. So he gets his gun. Because in Kentucky, it's one of those states that proudly, you know, fought for Second Amendment rights. And we need our guns to protect our homes and protect ourselves from threats. So, if you hear people banging on your door at midnight, and you didn't tell them, and you weren't expecting them, that sounds like a threat. And apparently, according to some of the investigation materials, they said that, he asked who it was. They didn't respond. So he's like, so when they did bust through the door, he shot first. Because he's like, I don't know who these people are. They're coming in like our apartment at like midnight. Who are these? And then, of course, the police shot back. And then, unfortunately, they killed Breonna, who was woken out of her sleep by banging on her door. But just the fact that, again, like no one's held accountable again. And then apparently what even makes it worse is that in Kentucky, the police officers aren't required to wear body cams. So I'm sure if they were wearing body cams, people would have requested to see the body cam footage, and that would have been like dead to rights. But, apparently, because I know, the state I live in, Maryland, the police wear body cams, like, everywhere. Because I've had some dealings with the police, but it's always been in a work aspect. I've only had a couple dealings with police where it wasn't. I think my first dealing with the police, one of my first interactions with the police was part of, like, the Police Activities League when they used to do that. It was fun, and there was, like, a black police officer who, for whatever reason,
had like one of those long pinky nails. I don't know. That's what I remember about it, which is probably not what they were going for to take away from it, but that's what I remember. And then, of course, there's the DARE program where they would try and scare you off of drugs and be like, this is a suitcase, and this is what all the drugs look like, and you're not supposed to do this ever. And it's like, okay. But it looks like a weird suitcase, though. It looks like a beat-up, weird suitcase that you guys have been carrying around for a while. And then two of the ones that... I've had two as an adult. One was an Asian police officer pulled me over and told me I was, like, going too fast, and I think it was, like, 35 miles per hour. So he gave me a warning. He was polite about it. He asked for my ID and registration. I showed it to him. And then, you know, he gave me the warning, and I drove my way. I was still, even though he didn't act aggressively at all, and I stayed as calm as possible, even after that reaction or the interaction, I felt like scared as crap, because I know what happens. I know what can happen, I should say, when Black people are pulled over by police. And even though I am a light-skinned Black woman, I'm like, it could happen to me. It certainly has happened to my brother and my father. And even though my younger brother is light too, and my middle brother looks white, but he's biracial. You know, it can happen to any one of us. Any one of us, because our family's a brown rainbow. Like, I'm kind of lighter in the middle. Then you get my older brother, who looks white, and then you get my other older brother, who, you know, he looks like he could be like George Floyd's color. And then you got my mom and dad and my other brother in the middle. Like mocha to caramel. And like any one of us. And now with Breonna Taylor, just like, I believe, I don't want to say her name wrong, but it was in, I want to say like 2018, 2019, where this young woman named Antiana Jefferson in Texas. I guess when her and her nephew at some point, they had come in the house. But in any case, the door was left open. So the neighbor thought he was doing a good thing by, you know, calling the police to come check on the house, because it's like, it's weird. Okay, because the door's been open for, like, hours. That's weird. And he thought they were just going to check on the house and check that they were okay. But it turns out the officer that came to do the check, you know, he didn't go to the front door. He went around the house, like, cased the house, and then I guess saw Miss Jefferson through the window and told her to put her hands up. Put her hands up where she could see him. He never said he was a cop. He had like a flashlight, and then he just shot her. And she was like in her living room. Babysitting, by the way. I don't know. I pray to God her nephew was not in the same room as her, but he was somewhere in the house. She was babysitting like her 8-year-old nephew. So you're not with her and Breonna Taylor. You're not even safe in your own house. You're not. You're not safe when, you know, they're pulling you over, you know, just for a routine thing or just because you're speeding. You're not safe if you're doing like a minor crime like George Floyd. You're not safe if you're in your house like Breonna Taylor or Antonia Jefferson. You're not safe anywhere. As a Black person, you are not safe anywhere. You always have to be on edge. You always have to be minding your behavior and everything, because it could just be some small, slight, little confrontation that just leads you into a horrible cascade of being maimed, bruised, battered, paralyzed, or dead. You know, just dead. And It's one thing when you're younger. Like I know, like in middle school and college for me, it was more or less because I knew about racism. I had experienced some at that point, but not to the degree I experienced in college, and especially after college when I started working with elderly people. And one would ask, like, well, but you've said you loved working with elderly people numerous times. And I do. I really do. You know, because the vast majority of the elderly, they don't care what color or creed or whatever you are. They just want help. They just want someone to talk to. And if you can help me talk to my son or daughter or brother or sister or whoever, you know, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. And then there's those few that just color the rest of them so horribly. Like the ones I've had dealings with that just color the others so horribly. And then you notice, you learn that those few who haven't died off yet have had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and carried that thought process down and bred these people that think, that believe that Black, Hispanic, Asian, and other people are beneath them and below them and do not warrant the same courtesies they afford other white people. Like, hey, you could ask me some questions before you, like, shove my face into a car or something. Or, hey, you could, you know, not automatically draw your gun on me. You could ask. Or, hey, you know, I'm not being aggressive. I'm just trying to answer your question that you yelled at my face. You know, like, they would give you more benefit of the doubt if you didn't look a certain way. And I'm finding out, especially with more and more and more of these cases being reported, and rightfully so, since we do have social media and more people are just apt to pull out their phones and start recording, and that more and more states, even though really all states need to have these police officers wearing body cameras, we're seeing more body cam footage and seeing what they're actually doing. And then, like in the case of George Zimmerman, it extends beyond police officers, even though that's what the large focus has been. It extends beyond them because George Zimmerman was in nothing close to a police officer. He was a dude calling himself doing a neighborhood watch militia sort of deal. And then he saw Trayvon, who was trying to get home. And instead of, I don't know, asking him what he's doing and trying to get him home, he said he felt threatened and had to stand his ground and shot him. You know? And I believe there was another Black man who he was running. Yeah, he was jogging. He was jogging or running, one of those. And I see people jogging and running all the time, especially now that we're all in quarantine, and he was just jogging. And then apparently these two dudes in a pickup truck didn't believe that he should be jogging and said that he fits some description of some guy. So they chased him down in his pickup truck and shot him. And then, of course, there was a guy behind them recording them do it, but he didn't call 911 or nothing while they were doing it. Like, you know, and it's just, it's those sorts of things and just seeing them more and more and more. And it just makes me that much more cognizant of the fact that, like, you have to be so careful. Just so careful. And honestly, even when you're so careful, you can just be sleeping in your bed or keeping an eye on your nephew or niece or something, and you know, it could happen then. You know, it could just happen then. So I know I was planning on doing more of a rant, but now I think I got most of my rant energy out in my blog post that I have scheduled, for the beginning of the week. But honestly, I think at this point, I am just so tired. And then to top off, the additional recordings of these racist killings and maimings and stuff, we have a president named Trump who is just making us a laughingstock everywhere in the world. And especially with the COVID-19 crisis pandemic that's going on, that he and other people are not taking seriously at all. Which pisses me off to no end, because I am a nurse who works in long-term care, i.e. part of the nursing home and assisted living community that was hit so hard with COVID, because I worked during COVID and I got COVID myself. I probably contracted it from one of the residents I was working with at the time. But to see so many residents that I've spent months and years getting to know, monitoring their care, talking to their families, getting to know them as well, meeting them at care conferences, seeing them set up visits and birthdays for these people and things, and then to see them just get so sick, and before you can really even do anything, you know, they're gone. They're gone. And yes, they were like fairly old, and they all had multiple comorbidities or diseases and things that they were dealing with. But prior to COVID, we were keeping them stable. Of course, there were some, like, they would have to go to the hospital because it was something too acute we couldn't handle in facility. But for the most part, we were keeping them stable. We would give them like their as needed medications if they needed, but usually just keep doing their routine medications and treatments. But to see them just go so fast. Just so fast. And to see many of my coworkers just get so sick, and to speak to them on the phone and hear how difficult it was for them to talk. And to hear that a couple of my coworkers had to go to the hospital. And for a president to be giving out horrendous misinformation, and to he himself not even bother wearing a mask to set a good example for the American public, and just be so concerned with getting everything open instead of shutting everything down, keeping it as closed as possible so we can go ahead and contain it. And then once we get a plan about containing it, and then have a solid plan for reopening instead of just piece by piece by piece by piece by piece. And then, oh, well, something happened, so we got to do something now, instead of, well, we should have shut everything down and taken the time to plan it out and then done it piece by piece by piece then, instead of just keep waiting and waiting and then wait for a huge influx like of cases and deaths to occur before, oh my gosh, because now over 200,000 people are dead. 200,000 men and women, old and young, dead from COVID, from incompetence. And that is why I will keep posting on my blog, posting on my Instagram, posting on my Twitter, and talking to people about voting. Naturally, I know who I'm voting for. I don't have the right to tell you who to vote for. I'm just telling you, you should vote, because clearly not enough people voted in the 2016 election, and here we are. And then that fool has the audacity to finally let people know about his taxes, even though every other presidential candidate has put out their taxes. And then he's paid less in taxes than most people pay in rent a month, in rent or mortgage a month. He's paid less in taxes than most people pay in rent or mortgage a month. And this is who people voted in. You voted in a man who hasn't paid taxes in years. So honestly, the IRS, instead of jacking the rest of us up, should be jacking him up, since he clearly hasn't paid taxes. Because if he's made anywhere close to the money he says he's made, Uncle Sam should be coming after it. Because Uncle Sam, sure enough, comes after everyone else when you don't pay their taxes. He's paid less than $800 in taxes. And that's just, that is less than what people pay in rent and mortgage a month. And especially now, because people are losing their homes and losing their apartments because they can't afford rent, because their jobs have been cut or eliminated. And they've lost their job due to COVID, or they've lost a loved one who had a job due to COVID. And it is just so mind-boggling. So mind-boggling and disturbing that people are still supporting and admire this man, even though he has done nothing to make lives for most American people better. It is just all going to pot, and that was even before COVID. It was in a pot, and now it's just in a dirt hole. It's just in a dirt hole that we got to cover it with lime. But that, I guess that's my rant. I was expecting it to sound more angry, but really, it just sounds more sad and depressing, and I'm over it. I'm done with it. I'm going to keep putting it out there and putting it out there that people need to get registered to vote, and you need to vote. And even after this election, you need to keep voting to keep these people accountable, or else we're just going to have more people get into office like him or similar to him, who don't give a crap about anyone but themselves and who can do what for them. And that's what we're going to have. And unfortunately, this is what we have now, and we need different people in important positions to get things done and to fix things, honestly. But that is where we are. So that is what is on Lady E's mind this week. I don't know what'll be on my mind in the coming weeks, but this is something that has been on my mind quite frequently. So I'll talk to you all later. Lady E out.